You know, this morning when we made the analogy of knowing the Lord's will and wondering why it is that the Lord didn't say, or Abraham didn't say to his servant, just go over there and get Rebekah and bring her home. But don't we see some of that right here? Just how many times have we asked in the last 2 days, who has a younger brother or who has a younger sister? And I realize that the scriptures here, verse 2, verse 3, are addressed to the aged men and the aged women. But if the Lord will, and we're still in this scene, each one of us will either be an aged man or an aged woman. And so in a sense, we have in verse 2 and 3 exactly that we have been told, this is where you're going to be, and this is what you need to learn to be. Yes, we're younger, but it's pointed to a time even for each one of us that are young now, to a time that this is going to be our role. And so we know what the future holds in responsibility that we have in looking at verse 2 and 3. So I don't want us to just skip over verse 2 and 3 and say, well, we're all young people here except for Chuck. So we don't need those two verses. Okay? But I just want to take and apply that to us.
So let's read then again those verses, that the older or aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be, and this is what, again, I'm underlining what John set before us, that they be in behavior. You see, behavior is what can be seen. I say again, people say, I can't see doctrine. I say, oh, yes, you can. You can see the doctrine that one holds by watching the life that he or she lives, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, it says, and then teachers or instructors of good things. And I'll just introduce this into verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. I've often said, I've said it in the young people's meetings, what if you didn't know what the Lord expected? Some of us have worked in the world a little longer than others, and we may have had the experience of working for someone, and we really didn't know exactly what they wanted us to do. They didn't communicate it to us. They didn't tell us, but they held us responsible for it. And it would be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Well, here, the Lord is telling us, this is His standard. It's not my standard. It's not John's or Emil's or any of us here. This is what the Lord says, I want you to be for me in this world. And I say again, you're going against the current. You're swimming upstream in a world that is away from Him. When you set out and say, Lord, I want you to help me, that these things would be seen in my life today. I'm going to link it to what we had this morning. What kind of a sister is a godly brother going to be looking for? Well, this is the reason we turned here. I think these are some of the features that are seen in her life.
There is a word that is repeated in verse 2, in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5, and in verse 6. It's the word sober. In verse 3, it is not really there, but it is there, and I'll show you where.
What is the opposite of the word sober? What? Can't hear, man. Come on. Drunk. What
Delirious.
Is another word for drunk? Intoxicated.
Delirious.
What is another, if you are driving,
under the influence.
The opposite of the word sober is somebody under the influence. You're driving under the influence. And by the way, each and every one of us is under the influence. But what influence are you under?
Hmm.
In every verse, you speaking to an older man? You're an older man? You gotta be sober. If you are speaking to the older women, not to be under the influence of wine. In the young sisters, to be sober. The young brothers, verse 6, to be sober. Not to be under the influence. Now, when they get somebody who is under the influence, how do they find out that he is drunk? Or he's intoxicated?
What did they do? Let us know, Emil.
That's not true. What do they do? I saw it. So
they watch his walk.
They watch how you walk.
Yeah.
Exactly the point you're saying. They tell you to walk in a straight line. And they see how you walk. They do a...
breathalyzer.
That's the test that they do. See, I don't know. The way... what comes out of your mouth? Speak, sound doctor? You could tell when somebody's under the influence what comes out of his mouth and the way he walks. So they pull you over, they get you out of the car, and they said, you're under the influence. No, I'm not. We'll prove it to you. Speak. Say something. Say, ah. What comes out of your mouth, prove that you're under the influence or not. Walk. And if you don't walk in the straight pathway, you're under the influence. There are influence around us. The world influence. People are intoxicated. They are intoxicated. They are not in the right mind. Because whatever the world is bombarding our brain, our mind with, sit and watch a movie, you dream about it. Your mind could not differentiate, your actual emotion could not differentiate between reality or not. Your emotion would respond to the messages that your mind is sending you. Have you ever sat in a 3D theater and you see a train coming across and you go back like that thinking like the train is going to hit you and you're not sitting on a seat? Have you ever seen a little kid watch some kind of scary something and he starts crying? There is no scary anything. Your emotion would respond to the messages that your mind is receiving. That is absolutely true. If your mind receiving the wrong influence, it's going to ruin your emotion. It's going to ruin the way you walk. That's why the instruction is mentioned to every category. Be sober. Don't be intoxicated. Don't be under the influence of this world. But you could be under the influence of the Spirit of God. So when you speak sound doctrine. And when you walk in a way that's godly.
There's another word we can apply to all these verses. And it's the word Chuck brought before us on our opening night. And it's the word exercise. And all of the things that are given here are given to us because this isn't what we are. It's what we should be. And so it's a direction, it's a directive as to how the Lord would have us to behave ourselves. It doesn't come naturally. It takes exercise of heart to realize. That's why it's written here.
Right.
So that we can come to realize and know. It's God's word. It's God's will. I'll say again. So because it's His will, now our response is exercise of heart. And then with the strength and the faith He gives us, we can produce this.